The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
And he said to me, be sexy. So I was sexy, and I was sexy and awesome and fantastic. And he said, be fabulous. And I said, I'll be fabulous, darling. Oh, and I said, please be on my radio. And he said, yes, yes, I'll be on your radio. And I said, oh, I bet you say that to all the girls. Frank is on right now.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Listening to Frank Capello.
From Atolia Paper Moon, standing under a cardboard sky, but I wouldn't be make believe if you believed in me. Or it's love, 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 or it's a honky tonk parade, or it's love, 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 or the melody played at a penny arcade for the Batman Bailey world, just as phony as it can be, but I wouldn't be make believe if you believed in me. Or
the phony being rather shy when bitten by the blue tail fly. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. Oh, my master's here to...
Thank you. Commander Cotolo checking in. Cotolo to Tower, Cotolo to Tower. The Bard of Broadcasting now on the air. Philosophical entertainment relevant to remembrance. Wake up, it's night, everyone. Netzerazai, couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Be curious, yellow, as we continue Y2K plus a 14. My name is Frank Cotolo, man. His name is on the title of the show. Mr. Savino is here, and another guy named Martin. Thomas Martin. The class of 72. Coming up right here. Stay with us. So I'm looking at this president's note, not the president of the United States, indeed, but the president current of the New York Institute of Technology. His name is Edward Giuliano. PhD, that's the same as the ex-mayor, I believe, of New York, Edward Giuliano. And I'm looking, there's a picture of him here in this president's note, which comes from the NYIT magazine, volume 12, number 2. Were that many? Does this even have a volume 12, number 2? There's no date on it or anything. So this is recent. And the thing that I'm getting from Edward Giuliano, PhD, is the fact that I think he's younger than I, younger than Mr. Thomas Savino, and younger than Mr. Thomas Martin, who will play a role each in this alumni gathering, because we're missing a couple of hundred people, mind you. But the alumni gathering, it's the threesome, this threesome, like the three musketeers of the Communication Arts Department, circa 1968, 69, 70, 71, 72, around there. And my name, of course, is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we welcome you, because you're always welcome here. Right? And whether you're listening to it live, right here, or you're listening to it on one of the great, many, wonderful stations that incorporate this program on their menu of programs, whether it be internet radio or radio that's streaming over the internet because it's coming from some landmine somewhere. Did I say landmine? I mean from a landline somewhere. Some brick and mortar headquarters of with an antenna and everything. Can happen. Every day, can't even keep track of the stations that add us every single day, every single week. And here we are in summer of 2014, Y2K plus 14. And I'm looking at Edward Giuliano's picture, PhD. And I'm thinking about when I was in this college, New York Institute of Technology, as was so Thomas Savino and Mr. Thomas Martin, who were going to have a conference call, when I was in this college, and they were in this college, which is a long and storied history, that this guy must have been in the college. And that's what I'm wondering, because there were so many different subjects you could be in college studying, pre-med. I think they did pre-med. They did technology. Well, it was Institute of Technology. And any other various science, biology. I don't know. And we were communication arts, which, of course, comes to a head on this particular show as the three of us communicate to one another. And for the first time in the same room for many years, although we have at various times talked to one another separately. Mr. Savino, as you know, who comes on this show once a month, my former radio partner, and now my radio partner. He's still here again. And Mr. Thomas Martin, who himself has a storied history, left communication arts, graduated from the New York Institute of Technology. And Mr. Edward Giuliano, preparing today for the careers of tomorrow, is the name of his president's note in this New York Institute of Technology alumni magazine. And I welcome all the people. I was real happy to know that there was a response, and I hope all the people from the Alumni Association, or if they're not listening now, they're listening on the rebound, and they've downloaded this, and they're listening. This is not a podcast, by the way. This is a broadcast. You know, all of a sudden, everything is a podcast, you know? But people don't even use pods anymore. They don't play podcasts on iPods. They play it on their phones. They play it on their tabulars, their tabs, their, tabs and slates, iSlates, iPhones. This is a broadcast, and we're here as we do it live. So if you're listening on the rebound, it's going to sound live. We do no editing. We just go, but welcome to all you people who have one time, I guess the Alumni Association, I don't know, I don't even know anything about it, but we're going to talk about it. Maybe the people who are in the Alumni Association, are they alumni members, or are they people who are currently in the university? And do you say B University, say in university? Are they currently in university caring for communications with all the people through the decades who have gone to school and have left? You're going to hear some amazing stories of a college that, as it said in our blog, could not find a home when we went to the Unoc Institute of Technology. How we got there, why we got there, how we made friends with one another, and some of the absolutely precious teachers. Now, I've talked about some of this and some of these people over the course of the many years that I've been doing the show. But you're going to hear tonight about any number of them, and you're going to hear stories that, I wish they were all alive. I don't think it's actually possible that they would all be alive. Some of them were very old when we were on Broadway or in the show, or when we were in the Hotel New Yorker or any other number of places where college classes are held, where fine college classes are held everywhere in New York City. My name is Frank Cotillo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show, of course, can get me at a tweet, at Frank Cotillo. We've been, there's been a lot of Twittering and tweeting about this to all the people everywhere. To all the people everywhere. We're here all the time on Thursday nights live, and we move into various other stations and ways of doing it. And of course, Juice Talk Radio, where you can go and download it eventually. So there's all sorts of stuff going on. I'm going to very shortly try to connect all three of us. This Edward Giuliano guy, this is amazing to me, because I feel like I might be older than who is the president of the school right now. And you know what? He looks incredibly, incredibly familiar. And I wonder. Well, we could start by trying to figure this out right now as we go into the next 2 hours. I don't have anything else to tell you. We're going to be here. There's one more show. This is the last show for June. And then we're going to go into July. And there's plenty of other stuff going to happen. I don't want to waste a moment of time here talking about all that stuff. Stay with us. Go to the CotilloChronicles.blogspot.com blog to find out what's happening as the summer. And so this is our first show of the summer. Boy, it's already incredibly hot. Let's get Tom Savino on the phone first. And then we'll get Mr. Martin. And then we'll settle into some form of discussion. Is that him?
That's me.
It's him. It's Tom Savino. And just as our co-host, Jeremy Long walks in.
Tom!
Jeremy Long, I've been thinking about you.
I've been thinking about you as well.
Okay, guys. You want a room? Go get a room, right?
Such a long time.
I know. It's been a while. Tom, what we're going to do is... Yes, he is. He's online. So here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to add Mr. Thomas Martin. How are you, Tom, first of all?
Which Tom?
No, you. Sabina? He's not there. He's not here yet.
Tom Martin's not here yet?
Not yet. I mean, I'm going to get him in a second. How are you, Tom Savino?
Okay, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Is the cat all right?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I have to give the cat insulin, and I have to feed him at a certain time, and then give him the insulin directly after that. So I'll be leaving the microphone about 7:45, Pacific time, and
that's
feeding
the
cat.
A 17-year-old cat, you say?
Yeah, he's 17, but I have a 21 and three quarters year old cat.
How old is that in person years?
Well, it's 6 years per cat. 6 years.
I didn't ask to do the math. I asked for the exact
Well, I have to do it in order to find out.
Well, you don't know either, so, do you?
It's 6 years times, what did I say, 21? So that's 120, something like that.
Wow. Insulin. I would think you need to give, you would have to perform, you know, give them new muscles.
And, Heart surgery.
Yeah. Do some
well, actually, the cat that's 21 doesn't get insulin. She has seizures, but then she just recovers.
I didn't know that animals got diabetes. I didn't know animals had, because I said sugar, it's a different kind of sugar, isn't it?
A different kind of sugar?
Well, I mean, no, animals and sugar, it's like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
How's the saxophone, Tom?
Oh, the saxophone? I was just thinking about that, too, as a matter of fact.
Well, how about we see what Tom Martin's thinking about right now?
Let's tell
see
if me we later.
How do
I
we
will
do
tell
this?
You later.
You know how to do this too, don't you, Jeremy? How to add people to this call?
Yeah, I didn't even know you knew how.
No, I don't know. I'm doing this by. This is one of the first
Scroll
times we're getting
keys.
Three
They're in alphabetical order.
For Thomas Martin, and we're going to see how it works with him. And because I don't know, I thought he said he was on a.
There he
goes.
Wait, yeah. Not that one. You're
no. Oh God, no. Yeah, add to call. Where is he?
Hold on, click it.
Thomas Martin. There, Thomas Martin. Add to call.
Yeah.
Okay. Thomas Martin is being called right now. You're still there, Tom?
Savino. Yes.
Savino's there.
Tom Savino's here.
We're now calling Thomas Martin.
I know he's online. It said online.
Yeah, it said online there. And we're calling. See, add to call. Here he is, Thomas
it says,
Martin.
This is Tom. Can you hear me?
He's on.
Yes.
Tom Martin.
Hello.
Tom Martin?
Tom.
Tom Martin, can you hear us?
Technical problems here. I can hardly hear you.
Tom Martin, can you hear us?
Tom, we hear you, Tom Martin.
There you are.
There, we're here. You there? You hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, loud and clear.
We hear you perfectly.
I can barely hear you guys. Let me see if
You could raise the volume. When I yell, like that matters, right? Can you
Maybe
raise?
Maybe it's your hearing.
Well, yeah, it is my hearing probably, too, here, but...
Thomas Martin.
Yeah. You're up as high as I can get you. Holy crap. All right, I'm going to have to put this up to my ears.
We're definitely as high as you can get us. There's no doubt about that.
I am, for
I
sure.
I know, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, really, Jeremy? Okay.
Let's let everybody introduce themselves to one another. Can you hear it? Okay. We're going to have a way of knowing which Thomas is talking.
Well, I think you can tell by their voice.
Savino. Well, nobody else knows, do they? Is it that different?
Well, I think you can refer to Thomas, when you say Thomas, that'll be Martin.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can barely hear you, but go ahead. We'll give it a try.
What do you want? What do you want, a Kindle?
I'm on a Kindle. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that it sounded better the other day. Could you turn up the volume there, Frankie? No,
can I turn up? Can I turn up our volume? Can you hear me? Can you hear me better if I talk like that?
Oh, you're gonna do like the FM DJ?
Here, how's it?
It's like what's that NPR program? Hello. We talk really close to the mic.
I'll be clipping shortly if this continues. If you can hear us at all, if you're within the sound of our voice.
Well, I'm holding it up like the old FM radios up to my ear, you know.
Well, if you can hear it all, that's fine. What do you mean the other day? Who did you call the other day like it's any of our business?
They talked to me the other day.
Oh, he talked to you on Skype?
Yeah. Yesterday.
Well,
then how come it was?
Out.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that. Do you want me to hang up on you and call you again? Maybe it has to do with the conference call.
That won't work.
Because that won't work. So
what are you trying to do?
Trying to see if his connection could become better by.
That won't. No. What by calling?
These
him?
Are three members of the communication arts.
I'm in that too.
Graduates.
I'm a communications
and
artist.
Jeremy Long, who you don't know, Thomas Martin. Say hello to Jeremy Long, who is an actor and a comedian and co-hosts here now and then. Thomas Martin, hey,
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Good. How are you, Thomas?
Good. Yeah. No, I think I've seen you on Frank's page. You're a big old guy, right?
That's correct.
Not old, but big.
Big, not old. Big. He is.
Big by muscular, then, yes.
He's larger than the average bear. Now, Thomas Martin comes to us from an undisclosed location in New England. That's all I will tell you, because we don't want people clamoring to his home.
That's right.
And I want to tell both of you guys, if you don't know it,
New England?
That New England, both of you guys, both of you Thomases, the Toms, I want to tell the Toms here that the New York Institute of Technology Alumni Association has embraced this broadcast. And
oh, really?
Yes, they were tweeting like mad today to all their members.
Really?
And we were on Facebook and all over the place doing the whole social network thing. So,
uh-oh.
There's a problem with this call.
It's on Thomas Martin's end.
Thomas Martin's problem with this call. Boop,
boop. What happened?
I know. It says there's a problem with this call of Thomas Martin.
Back, yeah,
oh,
back
he's back.
Now.
Okay.
He's
back. So,
and I can hear you guys much better.
Good. Okay.
Oh, good.
He fixed it.
What we have is the entire Alumni Association embracing this call. And I what I wanted to do, and I didn't know they were going to respond or be as receptive, but I wrote to them and said, hey, I don't ever see anything in the, I have right here, I was talking about the NYIT magazine and their website about alumni, but I never see anything about our time at the university when this was, when we never knew what building we would be in New York City. And so we want. So remember that when we're talking and discussing this, there's probably a lot of people who may be going to this university right now and taking various courses, wondering what the hell we're talking about when we say things like Knights of Pythias. And
yeah, I bet you they don't realize that. They should take a field trip to 72nd Street, or was it? It was on 72nd Street, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It had like these big gargoyles outside, you know, and it was kind of a scary place to go to school. To tell you the yeah. truth.
There's two photos of it on the blog.
Great photos, Frank.
Yeah. It was a Knights of Pythias well before the college bought it. Now, I did an entire show a couple of years ago, and I don't know if you guys even know this, but up there, all the way upstairs, at one time, was a recording studio.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a library up there.
Well, up there with a library, yeah. I know I worked in the library, but way before we're talking about. And there was a recording studio up there, and that was the birth of rock and roll, because in that recording studio, Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock.
No freaking way.
That is absolutely the truth, and you can look it up. When I found that out, I did a big, so I talked about that. So isn't it funny how we didn't even know that stuff? Nobody ever talked about that stuff.
No, we didn't know that then.
So anyway, it's a very historic building, and it's not the building where we went for 4 years, but let's talk about each other. Tom and I, or just Savino and I, of course, have been on this show before and talked about any number of things, but let's introduce Mr. Martin, who's had a storied life himself. You graduated with us in 72, correct?
That is correct.
Well, yes. What the hell happened to you? Where'd you go from there?
It's a long story.
Well, make it short. Cut it.
I got a job at a pay-per-view company in New York City. It was a Columbia Pictures. It was in the Columbia Pictures building, and it was an experiment. They were showing pay-per-view movies in hotels. This is like in the, you know, in the early 70s. Mm. You know, who heard of that? So it was Spectravision. I don't know if you guys heard of Spectravision, Spectrodyne.
Yes.
There were some jokes about it in the early 70s.
How many of those jokes do you remember? Can you tell us one? Can you tell us one of those jokes?
No, I can't.
Okay.
But you know, we were doing movies in hotels like the Plaza Hotel and the Waldorf Astoria, and got to meet a lot of interesting people. I spoke to Rosanna Brazzi on the phone. Remember Rosanna Brazzi?
Yeah, he called last week.
Did
he? No, wait
he
a second.
Was, he was
wait,
in, like,
step back.
Like, South Pacific. You know, some enchanted.
Oh yeah, I remember Thomas Martin. Yeah. Wait, step back.
But anyhow,
what did you do there?
A lot of celebrities: Don Rickles, Jerry Lewis, George Burns and Jack Benny in the Plaza Hotel, just you know, hamming it up with each other. It was pretty interesting.
Now, what were you exactly? Were you doing? Were you turning on the movies or what?
Yeah, I was a technician, so I would go to. They'd make me wear a jacket and a tie. And a tool belt.
A matching tool belt, of course, right?
Of course.
So matching. People would laugh at me. They say, "What is with you? What's going on with the tool belt?" You know. But I fixed a lot of TVs. I sort of exaggerate a little bit, but I got to know some famous people. Mm-hmm. One of the guys who used to live, who used to work right next to me was Alan King.
Ah.
Remember Alan King?
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, his office was right next to mine. And one day he said to me, "Tommy, come in. I want you to take a look at this stuff. This is like the funniest stuff I've ever seen. We're thinking about bringing it into the United States." And he had this big clunky 3/4-inch machine. He put it in, and it was the Ministry of Funny Walks. It was Monty Python.
That would be about that time, 72.
And
yeah,
it was because of me that Monty Python is now in the United States.
Wow.
And
all because of New York Institute of Technology.
Yes, there's going to be a special plaque for you somewhere in Westbury, where there is only one campus now, Westbury, New York.
There's still a Manhattan campus.
There is?
Yeah. Do you know that there's a campus in Abu Dhabi?
What, Abu? Really?
Who?
Yeah. We have a guest now and then who calls from Abu Dhabi. I think we lost Mr. Martin again. He's coming back.
Oh, no.
Here he comes. Here he is. You're just going to have to keep...
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just keep reconnecting when it happens. So
yeah, what did we lose? We probably lost the whole story, but not a big deal.
No, it's a great story. No, I think I'll never be able to watch Monty Python again without thinking of you.
Without thinking of Tom Martin.
Wow. Exactly.
No, but wait a second. What you learned in communication arts help you get that job? And what did they just? How did that work?
You know, it was my cousin was dating this woman whose brother worked at this company, and they sort of thought, well, it's sort of TV communications, you know. So I tried out for the job, and
The job. What'd you do? Put on the tool belt and walk.
Identify the tools. I looked at Macho, and he said, "You got the job, buddy."
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And then from there, you went to the Middle East.
Yeah. My boss had left the company, and he started a video company, a video editing company downtown. And he wanted me to work for him, but a friend, his cousin actually worked in Saudi Arabia, and he said, "Hey, they're looking for somebody with your skills." And I said,
"And your tools." Looking for somebody with your tools.
So I became sort of a pirate, I guess, in Saudi Arabia. Just that we were bringing in, at that time there was no satellite, so they wanted all sorts of entertainment, so we were copying stuff from the United States. I shouldn't be telling you this, but I think I have anonymity or something now. I don't know what that word is. But I don't know what that word
amnesty.
Is.
Amnesty.
Amnesty.
Has she been gotten it? You have amnesty?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I did that for a while and built some cable systems in the kingdom, and it's pretty interesting. Yeah, I did that for about 4 years, you know. But
to this day, Tom Martin,
yes,
my sister truly believes in her heart that you were a CIA person. It was just a cover that you were a cable guy, a camel cable guy.
Well, yeah,
of course you can't admit it, so I understand.
I'd walk a mile for a camel cable guy.
no CIA. I worked with a lot of CIA guys, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were, you wouldn't tell us anyway. He wouldn't tell us anyway.
I would tell you. I mean, well, I have nothing to hide.
But you would have nothing to hide, but your life would be in immediate present danger.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I did that for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. Then I got back and stopped in the Columbia Pictures building, and they said, "Hey, Tom, you want your old job back?" And I said, "Sure." So I got my old job back. And you know whose office was next to my office?
Alan Statsky.
No, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman had a...
Dustin Hoffman.
Who knew he had an office, right?
Well, we used to pee together because he didn't have a bathroom, obviously.
I did a whole...
we'd be standing next to each other, and I'd say, "Hi, how you doing, Dustin?" And he'd say, "Fine," you know, and we'd try and peek at each other, and, you know, that was about it.
I did an entire show once from my days in Hollywood, it was just consisted of the people I peed next to. The celebrities, yeah.
I was just going to suggest that would be a good episode, but I guess you already did it
years ago. But we are on Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling with two Toms, the Toms from the New York Institute of Technology. This is how I got to meet both, which is amazing because Thomas Savino lived down the street from me, but it took college. It took New York college for us to get together. And Mr. Thomas Martin, who I wouldn't have known from Adam because he lived in the Bronx. We never would have known him, Tom.
No, unless we ran into him in a Yankee game or something.
Which would have been highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
The math of that. So Thomas Martin you came back to New York. let's hear. So this is what happened. We all know about you, Tom. Tom just retired. Savino just retired from the Los Angeles school system as a as a teacher, and of course he did radio with me, and he's been a musician and a comedy writer and stuff like that. So everybody knows everybody else.
But just a quick note.
Yes.
As of yesterday, I am a great grandfather.
All right.
Wow. Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't believe it, though. A great grandfather.
Well, you haven't had a chance to be a bad one.
I know. I didn't even have to hold myself accountable in any way. I just became a great grandfather.
Now, that's fascinating, too, because that, of course, colors the entire statement with age and elderliness. And I was talking when I opened up the show that I'm holding the New York Institute of Technology magazine, Volume 12, Number 2, the alumni magazine, and the president's note. Edward Giuliano is the president now.
Yeah.
He made the listening.
Wasn't he in our year or something?
Well, this is what's amazing about it. I'm not going to read it because it's just president junk, you know. But this guy looks so familiar, and I swear to you, he looks younger than us. And I'm thinking about when we would look at President Shure. Wasn't it Shure?
Yeah,
Alexander Shure.
Alexander Shure from the Shure Mic Company. Wasn't he the same guy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
And I'm thinking about how we got into college and this guy was so much older than us. Now I'm looking at the president, and he's not only looks familiar, but we're probably older than is he.
Yeah. What's his name, Frank?
His name is Edward Giuliano, just like same as the last name as the ex-mayor.
Giuliano. Yeah, I have the yearbook here.
Oh, you're kidding. Yearbook. This is cool. Wow.
Yeah, but I'm having an asthma attack because it's all moldy and.
So you remember, you should have put it in plastic.
Yeah, I know.
That's what she said. Do you?
We're not doing she said. Joe.
No. Can you see it? Can you actually look in there and see if you find Edward Giuliano? And while you're looking, let me just say that I get this magazine. I always look in the back where it has these notes, alumni notes, which is like, you know, what happened to people from various decades of graduation here. And here's 1970s. Yeah. And there are some people. It only goes as far back as 1970. You know, you never see anybody I know back here.
Frankie.
Yeah.
The only J guy we have in here.
It's G, Giuliano with a G.
Former
mayor.
Yeah, the Irish guy's drunk again. G U I L I A N O.
Nobody ever said I was literate.
No. But you really know how to use those.
Well, Tom is looking for that.
Yes. Go ahead.
Let's talk about the crazy place we went to school.
We're going to do that. We have plenty of time to do that. I just wanted to see if he found anyone there, and then we could go through some. And you know what you could do since you have that, as we're talking about of our memories and the crazy times, Mr. Martin, you could pop out some names. Because when you and I were talking on the phone, that's all he was doing. I said, hey, don't blow this conversation because you were bringing up some names. Right, Savino? I mean, we know that there's like every once in a while you come up with a name and you go, oh, God, you know, I haven't thought of that guy in ages. And who knows? They might be listening one way or another. Go ahead.
It's possible. I was trying to remember the name of my biology professor a woman.
Oh, who I have the biology section right here. Hold on a second.
Oh, that woman. Oh no, it wasn't that one, was it? Now I think
she had an Italian last name, and she gave me this special assignment because I was failing. She wanted me to pass, so I had to do a special assignment, and it was on sebaceous glands.
Oh, those Italian women.
I thought at the time, you know, I was a young man, still just out of high school when I was a freshman, of course. You know,
it sounds like
and
a guy who
I had acne. I had acne, uh-huh. And I thought, is she giving me this assignment because I have acne? I don't, whatever, but I can't remember her name.
I thought that was a classical composer.
What?
I thought that was a classical composer.
I missed the joke, Frank. I'm sorry.
What were you writing about?
He's so honest.
Sebaceous glands.
Yeah, sebaceous glands. Didn't he write the concerto?
Oh, sebaceous glands, yeah.
Savino's.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, see? Mr. Martin knew because he had a tool belt.
I can't find the biology department. There's mathematics. Hey, remember Mr. Briggs? Mr. Briggs.
Oh, Mr. Briggs was probably the introduction for all of us, wasn't it, Tom?
Yes. Yeah.
He was out there. Tom can tell you stories about him.
Savino will tell you first. Did you take him during? Did you take him in math? He was a math teacher, right?
Briggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a math teacher. I think he was a math. Like
I think it's safe
the
for us.
The thing we all remember about him is that it was freezing cold, and he would be coming in with just a sweater.
He always wore his jacket. He never wore a coat or gloves or anything.
A sports jacket, no matter how cold it was. And we said, aren't you freezing? And he says, oh, no, I'm not. I have, you know, special techniques. And then, of course, he told us about his astral projection and that he was a... I was in Egypt last night, he would tell us, and
that's right.
These great stories about
that had nothing to do with math.
No.
No, I mean, you know, our parents would have freaked out, you know, if they knew these weird people were like teaching us.
I mean, oh, what about Doc Scanlon?
No, wait a second.
Remember Doc Scanlon?
Oh God, Doc Scanlon! You know, Jeremy here is just got out of. Are you still in? You're not in school anymore. Yeah. He just got out of college, and the college that he went to. It's amazing for any of you people out there, and a lot of our younger listeners. I verify that everything we're going to tell you is true. It's going to sound like we made it up. It's going to sound like, but this cast of characters existed, and I think it's safe to say that most of them have to be passed on by now. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Scanlon was passed out then, I think. He was on some kind. He was like Dr. Phibius. What was that one Vincent Price played? Dr. Yeah. Philo? What was that guy?
Yeah, I don't know, but I just couldn't wait to get to Dr. Scanlon's class every day because it was the most entertaining. He was the drama teacher, right? I mean, I don't remember anything he taught me except... He was incredibly entertaining.
He wore his.
Remember his cape? He had a cape, always wore a cape, and smoked throughout the class.
Yes.
Chain smoked.
We were all allowed. Most of those classes were allowed smoking in those days.
Yeah.
I had Shakespeare with him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, there's a threesome.
Yeah, me, him, and Shakespeare.
He was that a specific? I mean, there was like
I'd buy that
Shakespeare was a specific.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Well, it was. I don't know where it was. It was like you know, the classic Shakespearean.
I'm trying to think of a personality so that the listeners will get an idea of what we're. So Doc Scanlon doesn't mean anything to anyone, but he must to give you an idea of this fellow. He was an older man. Right? I mean, he looked older,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a flamboyant type of demeanor. And he did border on in those days, of course, you know, he had that he was effeminate.
Yeah, I would say that. And he was a thespian, really, all through
yes.
and through.
Yeah. And he always seemed to be on stage. And he had dark hair, which I'm sure was colored, right?
And
I think he had sort of like reddish, grayish hair, didn't he?
Was it reddish, grayish hair? His words.
Well, he's balding. I know that.
Here's where all the memories start to.
He had a kind of a Parisian dapper mustache.
Yes, that would be one of the right. He was like a character. He wasn't like a regular guy. He was like a character. It was like he was going on stage. Like he had his makeup on, and mm-hmm. and that mustache. And the cigarettes as props, and the clothes he wore, how he walked as if he was That makes sense, Mr. Martin. That Shakespeare. That makes a lot of sense because I could. That's the best way to describe him. He could actually speak as if, and he talked regularly as if he was coming right out of Old English.
Well, in his photo, he's got a black suit on with a gray turtleneck.
Hmm.
Very thespian-ish.
Yeah.
Is that the 72 yearbook, the year of our graduation? Or
yes, it is.
Wow.
It is. We're all in there. Wow, remember Cliff Ladner? Cliff Ladner is.
Oh God! Cliff Ladner, folks, was a fellow student of ours, a colleague's student, and we ran. I ran for senator against him, senator of the. Student body for the Communication Arts Department.
I was your campaign manager.
Yeah, we had this great "Don't Fall Over a Cliff" was one of our, one of our slogans.
Yeah, debate.
We won. Thank you, Frank, for that.
Yeah, we won. We won. Yeah, and he was crushed.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah. Cliff Ladner was. Let's put it this way: Cliff Ladner was a combination of an early Jeff Goldblum and Jerry Lewis.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Great description, yes.
That'll give you an idea. Yeah. Lanky and awkward and that voice. And Tom, of course, was short and suave. Yes, it was more swashbuckle.
Short and suave.
Swashbuckle.
Short and suave.
Yeah. But,
other S words.
Yes. But
I had long hair at the time.
Yes. You had that D'Artagnan look.
Yes!
That's right.
Mr. Thomas Morton, that's right, was very much, very musketeerish.
Yeah, yeah.
I still am a little musketeerish, but don't tell anybody.
Athos, Pathos, or Aramis? What is it? I'm wearing Aramis right now.
Mostly Aramis, I don't know.
So here we are in Cotolo Chronicles on the 26th of June, and these two alumni and I, or the three alumni, talking about the New York Institute of Technology between the years, I guess, 68 to 72.
That's right.
Which were incredible years in American history, too. And we, but this is a private school, and somehow we all met because we were all going to... We were all taking communication arts, so we still had to take our liberal arts courses. That's where people came along, like the very famous Dr. Fablianek. Write this down! Did you, Mr. Martin, Tom, TM, did you have Dr. Fablianek?
I think I had it for I think I had it for one course. And I think he was like, he'd write something down on the board, then he'd erase it just before
you
got
there. His eraser would follow the chalk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And wasn't he very much like, he really looked like the goofy German, nuclear physicist guy that you'd see in a cartoon.
Yeah, he
was.
Do you have a picture of a man? Not that we could show anyone, but is he in there, Dr. Fablianek?
Yeah, he's in here somewhere.
He's pretty great. He's down, and that's how he talked.
Do you guys remember, we being the communication arts people were not very much into mathematics. I mean, although the school itself, was most of the students, I think, were for engineering and so on and so forth. And they were definitely into mathematics. We weren't.
Right.
It was all art and films and radio shows and TV shows. That was our thing. And do you remember we had this one math class and everybody was failing? Everyone in the communication arts department was failing.
Do you remember a teacher? A professor, I mean?
It was. I do remember it was a young Russian guy.
Russian?
And we actually protested. We went to the math department chair and they fired him. Really? Do you remember that? They fired him, and the head of the math department took the class over, and pretty much accepted the fact that we're all going to pass, you know, social, what do they call it, social passing, you know, just, all right, you're here, okay, you pass.
Boy, I don't remember that.
No.
Not at all. I remember the Oriental fellow who, some kind of math, and he was an Oriental fellow, and he was short, and he sounded like he just came over here. I mean, he knew English better than I knew Chinese. That's not the point. The point is, when we got in there, the first class we got in there, he said, he got to the front of the class, and he went, no one fail. And we all looked at one another. Were you in this class, Tom? Savino?
I don't remember
you,
that,
either of
no.
you guys? Okay. He goes, no one fail. Well, you know, when we first went in and we had the liberal arts courses, we weren't in the same classes as much as we were in the communication,
because
there was only a certain amount of those. But we were mixed up. There was a blend of people from all different courses in the regular liberal arts thing. Well, this guy said, he got up and he talked with us. I know I'm not going to sound politically correct, but this is just, I swear to God, this is exactly, he said, no one fail here. And so we're like going, well, you know, of course we don't want to fail. Whatever his name was, you know, Mr. Chin or Chang or something. It was one of those really, really template character, Oriental character. And this is what he said. He says, no. He said, you know, and he says, here's what happened. You come to class. He said, you come to class, you write your name down, you show up, and you pass. He said, you don't skip class, you pass. No matter what grade you get. He says, no grades. And we're all going like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And we went, what do you mean? You automatically, he says, you everybody pass. And here was why. He said to us, I'll nix the accent right now. This is for the sake of any kind of communication. He said, and remember, he was Chinese. He said, because there's a war in Vietnam, because there's an illegal war from America, he says, I am not going to be responsible for you going to war. He said, if you fail this class, that may start a stream of failures. And then if you fail and get out of college, you're going to have to go to the war. And if you go to the war, then you'll go. So he said he was not going to fail anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because.
I wish I had his class.
No, to give it.
It's okay. I got through, I guess. So that's all right.
That was all.
Does anybody remember there was a sort of a remedial math teacher there? A woman, sort of Rubenesque, and she always wore these short skirts. And she would sit on the top of the desk. And
she wasn't a math teacher, though, Tom, was she? I thought she was a speech teacher.
Speech, yes. Remember?
Was it speech?
Yes.
Yeah. She was a speech teacher.
I thought it was math for some reason.
Oh, no, she was speech. I know.
Oh, let me tell you, I remember she was speech. Because she taught me.
Everybody would,
she said,
would
breathe from the diaphragm.
Want to look up her dress. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And while we're, you know, another thing, folks who are listening and people who may be going to NYIT now, you know, there was only like a few girls in the whole school when we were there.
No, no, no.
They were all in our department, but.
I think you're incorrect. I think there were only a couple of girls in our department. I think there were plenty of girls in pre-med and tech and everything and all that. Weren't there science
not,
and math?
Not back then, no.
No. In our year, there were very few. I looked through the book. There's maybe three or so.
Let's give their names.
Okay, I have.
Yeah.
Now, these are real names.
Yes,
now.
These are real names.
I have Chin Chow.
Chin?
I don't remember her. Yeah, I don't remember her, Chin Chow.
She wasn't in communication arts, was she?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, doesn't say.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
And let's see who else we have here. No, that's a boy. Oh, then we had Hema Cohen.
Hema
Cohen.
Hema Cohen?
Tema,
T-E-M-A.
Tema
Cohen.
Tema.
Tema, T-E-M-A. And here's the one that was pretty active. It was Kathy L. Bell. She's the one I think we all remember.
Oh, yeah.
She was in communications, I think.
Yeah, I think she was, yeah.
Why do I know her? We know her from what?
I think she was the one who we sort of That's the only one I remember to tell you.
Oh, you don't remember where's Jamie? There was a Jamie in there.
Oh yeah, Jamie.
Oh yeah. What was
Jamie was communication?
Jamie, she had a very.
She wasn't in our year. Oh, there was a Marie Kala. Kala.
Jamie
was
Glass? Jamie, something like that. Jamie.
Rhonda Vanderveer had a good afro. And I think that's it in our class.
Wow.
I ran into Jamie. I've told my Jamie story before, but let's not just tell those stories. Let's get back to more of so anyway, those are the, you girls, if you're listening, get in touch with the Alumni Association and tell them that you want to be in the book. I don't think, I think there should be a little bit more in the history of this school, about our times.
Yes. Absolutely.
The Knights of Pythias. Here's the triptych as I remember it. We went to school in the Knights of Pythias, and then they sold the building from under us, and literally. And then we had nowhere to go because they didn't get another building. So we had classes one semester at the Hotel New Yorker.
Yes.
Yes.
With George Harrison.
Many
living there.
Many people we saw talk about celebrities back then. Yeah. Yes. Were you in the room? Were you in the class one time? Because we had classes in rooms and empty rooms and hotel rooms. Now, I think that was before Reverend Sun Young Moon bought the hotel.
That's right, that he bought the hotel and we had to to leave there.
But they
one thing I remember and am fond of is that our campus was Central Park. You know?
That couldn't be. It was on, because it was on 14th Street. The Hotel New Yorker.
Well, I guess when we were the Knights of Pythias days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were right across, we were right down the block from the Dakota.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And also Lincoln Center. Remember, we used to go into the library and get a record. Remember, you get a record and you could put it, there were turntables and you just put headphones on and you could listen to music while you're.
We may have to describe to the audience the what is a turntable.
Actually, it's funny because a turntable is actually a big part of our New York Institute of Technology communication history, because we couldn't use one unless we had a Windex can to put on the LPs so that the LPs would remain on the turntable.
It was a very old building, and they did not have. Well, we had a lot of equipment in the communication arts department, but you're right. It was, I mean, now it sounds ancient, but it was ancient then. It would be, right? Because it was all older stuff, even then.
Yeah.
They had the 1950 TVs, cameras where you would like switch the lenses with a big candle. You go clunk, clunk, clunk.
Isn't it amazing to think? I mean, I'm sitting here with Jeremy, and he's got an iPhone. My son's sitting across the room. He's got an iPhone. They could take better videos right now than we could do with those big, clunky,
with those giant cameras,
robots upon which we did the any number of episodes of the Milt Martin Show.
The Milt Martin Show. What is memories?
TV workshop. We had a TV, and it was an entire TV studio there. And we
I tell you that one of the hardest things I've ever had to do was direct a live video broadcast.
I hated directing.
A three camera man. It's
that was
like
tough.
That's tough, man. Yeah,
like Lucy and Desi. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Isle of Lucy, where
the Isle of
people
Lucy.
People go to the Isle of Lucy. I was telling my sons tonight about the Thomas Martin and I, because Thomas Martin played a role when we all had to do commercials. That just reminded me of the Isle of Lucy. That was Babalu Mandel's. Of course, we know why he's Babalu, but that's okay. Let's not go there. The thing is that we all had to do commercials. Was that our final? Wasn't that a final? We had to write and produce Mr. Zeller.
Nat Zeller.
Visualize wasn't his was a slogan. Visualize was it?
What was it?
I don't know.
Visualize everything
I don't know.
Or something like
it
that.
It sounded
everything
so frustrating.
Everything is visual.
I don't know. For God's sake.
Didn't we have to watch Nanuka the North like 14 times or something? I forget.
He was out there. He was out there.
Yeah, he was kind of mad. Yeah.
And I was telling my sons, and they found it particularly funny. And I think it's still funny today because Mr. Martin played. I don't know what you did on that shoot, Tom Savino. You probably, I don't know, you maybe you were the switcher or the lighter or the, I don't know what you did. But Thomas Martin was played Wyatt. Wyatt was the redneck kid having breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the hippie having breakfast.
Yeah. I remember it got an A.
Yeah, it was great.
You're talking about the Uncle Sam cereal.
Yes, yes, Uncle Sam cereal commercial. Can we all sing? Can we all sing the song?
I remember the jingle. We wrote a jingle.
Oh, yeah, we wrote the jingle. You ready, everybody?
Yeah,
I'm ready. Dun, 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 dun. It's Uncle Sam's cereal. It's Uncle Sam's cereal. It's Uncle Sam's cereal. It's a natural laxative. Obviously, we all can't sing. Yeah, can't talk at once on Skype.
That's interesting. We can't. There goes harmony, I guess.
And anybody who wants to buy, you can still go and get. It's actually, we didn't make up the product. Well, I didn't make up the product. I found the product in a. And it's still out there, I believe. You could still see.
I was watching PBS the other day. It was sponsoring one of the programs.
On PBS. Really? On Uncle Sam's cereal, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife eats it, Uncle Sam's cereal.
See, it is. It's terrific.
Is she regular?
She's a regular wife, yes.
She's regular, but unfortunately bipolar, so it never...
It'd be bi-regular.
She's regularly bipolar.
We're coming up to the end of the first hour here of this alumni, riotous alumni reunion here between Thomas Martin. Thomas Savino and me. I'm Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, and this is Cotolo Chronicles, your original one-time, first-time, all-time internet radio talk show now on many stations all across the world. And, of course, you can get me on Facebook. You can get Thomas Martin on Facebook, too. We lost Thomas Martin again. He'll come back. He'll come right back.
He'll come back.
You can get him on Facebook, but you can't get him on Skype.
You can't get him on Skype, though. No, you can get him on Facebook. And it took him a while to get him in on Skype. But,
Tom has an interesting history of sharing offices or people who have offices next to him. Because right now, he is in an office, he was going to have to work in his audio, works in a hearing aid place now or something. Senator Bernie Sanders.
He's back. You're back, Tom.
Yes, I am back.
Okay, good.
Yes. I was just telling the audience about your propensity for having famous people in offices either near you or where you were once going to rent.
Like Bernie Sanders was near me.
And dear to you.
For those people who don't know, Bernie Sanders is a senator from Vermont.
Apparently that didn't go over as well as Alan King.
No, I think, yeah.
And the other thing that's really... we lost him again. He keeps coming back there.
How do you know you're losing him,
buddy? You hear a bing that goes boop, and it says there's a problem with this call. He's back.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to mention, let's see... They actually have a passing thing back here. Oh, passages. You there, Mr. Martin, you back?
I'm back again. Yeah, this thing, that's such a great connection.
Does anybody know, and there's only one person who passed away from the alumni, 74, so he might have been a freshman when we were there or something. Does anyone remember Jeffrey Abravaya?
Abravaya.
I can't say.
Let me look up the A's here.
A-B-R-A-V. What?
Was he in our year?
I don't know. 74. No, he's 74.
Yeah. 74, yeah.
There's a 67 here. That guy was pretty old. These are passings. People who have passed. You don't want to be in this column.
Yeah. When we were going there in the beginning at the Knights of Pythias, or even when we moved around to the New Yorker and then 14th Street, or there was always this... controversy about we were getting you know, shortchanged because Westbury was getting all the good equipment. And,
that's right.
You know, that was the real campus, and we were just the, you know, stepchildren.
Yeah, you were the outcasts because we went to Manhattan.
We're feeding them the money so that they could have this beautiful campus.
Yeah, we didn't pay any less, did we, because we went?
No, we paid the same they did, yeah.
But now they have a huge building in New York City, right?
That's what Savino says. I didn't know that. They have a whole building.
They built a brand new building, I think, yeah.
And I think it's on the Upper West Side. The last time I went to Manhattan,
I wonder if it says
they even had signs like streets, New York City street signs, at New York Institute of Technology this way.
I don't see it anywhere in the. They don't show the various Winston Hall. No, they don't show it here anyway. It's funny looking through this thing because there are people here that are so young, and I don't think they have any idea what went on. And that's the other thing, I think, that if the Alumni Association is listening, I think you should try to get a hold of some more people from the original, I say original, because I don't know how long the New York campuses were there. Do you?
No.
No?
You know, we just showed up in 1968, but the Knights of Pythias was there before, and I guess it was a NYIT before we showed up, so I don't know.
How did either of you find out about this? And then I'll tell you my story. How did you find out about the New York Institute of Technology?
Well, I was accepted actually to the Academy of Aeronautics at Long Island because I wanted to become a aircraft maintenance guy and a pilot and all that. And I went to the orientation and they said, Ed, you're going to need to know a lot of physics. And I said, holy crap, physics? What the hell is that? So my second choice was communications, and New York Tech supposedly had a great communications department.
I like how he says supposedly at the time.
Well, maybe I don't know Westbury, but New York was kind of half-assed, I thought, anyhow.
I don't remember how you found it, Savino. How did you find it?
I, too, was, I wanted to study. Actually, I really wanted to study music. But my high school guidance counselor said, forget it. you'd have to go, if you really want to study music, you'd have to go to Juilliard there's no way you're going to make it at Juilliard. No way. So,
what a jerk.
So, he said, what else are you interested in? And I said, well, I'm interested in communications, radio, TV, film. Well, forget New York, NYU, because your grades are, you can't make it with your grades. So he said, oh wait, here's the school. You could go to, New York Institute of Technology. And there were, you know, at the time, there were only 17 schools in the country that had, communication, programs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And did you know this fact that, they started one of the first computer animation classes, and the guys from Pixar actually came from our college.
I heard a lot about the things that began because of computer technology at NYIT. There is a lot of that. A lot of things that you know, started there, and people.
I didn't know about the Pixar connection.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were into computers well before there were a lot of computer things at all.
Yeah.
It was big time.
Apparently, computer graphics were developed at New York Institute of Technology.
That's right.
When I got out of high school, I did not take any of high school particularly serious. I didn't shoot for grades. I didn't want any, you know. And so when I got out of high school, the draft lottery. I drew a low number in the draft lottery, and I said, "Holy crap! I'd better go to college."
do you remember your number? What was your number?
I think it was 108 or 103 or something.
Right. That was 153.
That's pretty close too. Okay,
362.
Yeah, you see?
Really?
Lucky the Irish. 360. So here's what I did. I was just thinking about schools, and I knew that I didn't have the marks, and I couldn't get into any schools. So I went, you know, I said, every state that I know has an Institute of Technology. There's Massachusetts Institute of Technology. There's the Indiana. There's the California Institute of Technology. So I went to the telephone, and I called the information. And I said, I'd like the number of the New York Institute of Technology. And they said, hold on, please. And they gave me the number.
Wow.
And I called the New York Institute of Technology. I said, can you send me a book? You know, because I was just shooting for, found it was a private school. And they sent me the, you know, the catalog. And that's when I discovered they had radio and TV. And I said, oh, my goodness, this is the one I got to go to. Because, you know. But that's how I found it. I did not know it existed. I made it up in my head, figuring New York had an Institute of Technology. And by golly, it did.
And sure enough, they did.
And that's how I wound up there.
Now, right now, the New York, the Manhattan campus is at 1855 Broadway.
Oh, that's right. That's near where the 1855 Broadway is near where the old Atlantic Records building. That's pretty much, that's near Lincoln Center.
Well, 61st Street and Broadway.
There you go.
It is right near Lincoln
See?
Center.
Yeah. I remember 1855 because I worked at a place there near in the Atlantic Records building at one point.
I was in there a couple of times, too, many years ago.
Right? Yeah, you know the building I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Atlantic Records building, yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of Atlantic Records, we have a colleague, a student who, he was like a PR guy for Atlantic, wasn't he? He always had tickets to concerts and things.
That was me.
was that you? No.
Was that you?
I thought I knew. No, there were,
It was Mike Hyland.
Yeah,
remember Mike and Corn Records and Atlantic Records. Yeah. And the reason I was in the Atlantic building there is we would go in there and get our press releases. And at that time, they didn't have any computers, so we'd have to go to the trades and deliver the press releases, you know. So that's what I was doing for him for a while.
Yeah.
And I got to meet Amit Erigan, which is a very famous, you know him.
Yes, I used to work at there was a publishing company in there. They published some of my songs, and then I wound up working at the publishing company, which was a couple floors down. So Amit Erigan and the other guy, famous guy there. He was in the Ray movie. Who's the other guy? Amit Erigan, and now I forget his name. Those two big Atlantic guys. You know, we used to have coffee together. We used to go up the elevator all the time with those guys. Yeah, that's where they
He used to really be pretty tight with the Allman Brothers, I think.
Mike Hyland. Yeah, and whenever they were in town, we'd go to the concerts and we'd get either front row or I'd be on stage with these guys. And there's one time in the Bronx where I was on stage with them, and Jerry Garcia walks past me to jam with them, you know. And here I am on stage with Jerry Garcia, the Allman Brothers band, and I'm telling my kids this story years later. My ex-wife says to me, "Oh, don't lie to them."
I love those. Yeah,
and I'm saying to you know, so to this day, I'm still looking for that picture, you know, of me on stage with these guys, and I'm just gonna like shove it in her face. Just kidding.
Don't bother. She'll say it was Photoshop.
In those days, you couldn't. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get a picture out now. People took pictures, so I got proof of a lot of that junk with pictures. Yeah. It's on the air, Cartolo Chronicles. We're chronicling and talking about the New York Institute of Technology, and we welcome everybody who's from the Alumni Association or even knows that the place exists and is listening. Right now, Mr. Thomas Savino and Mr. Thomas Martin and I all graduated, were graduated in 1972. And let's talk about the times I mentioned before about the teacher who didn't want to fail people because we might go to war, and he didn't want to be responsible for these anti-war. We were there during the Great Uprising, and do you remember how one of our semesters was cut short because we didn't want to be left out after they killed the kids in
Kent State.
Yeah, remember, this was all that. We marched down Broadway and all sorts of stuff.
Do you remember the culture at the time produced these strange enemies, like the contract people who worked in construction hated peace people who were marched for peace. I don't know what that's all about, but that's the way it was. And of course, in Manhattan, there are many tall buildings, and we're marching down Broadway, and at construction sites, they were throwing bricks at us.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, those were tough times. They were, I guess, what you, today, they were the, you know, the really hard right, patriotic guys. And we were all considered, what? We were all considered hippies and, communists. Wait a second. Communists.
Communists.
Hey, communists. You hippie.
And they were the hard hats. We used to call them the hard hats. Do you remember my hard hat piece? Hat.
I often tell people that when we played at Brooklyn College, when the band played at Brooklyn College during that time, and how you came out to be on stage with that silver hat that you drew the peace sign on the front.
Yeah, you remember that? I guess,
I remember that. That's yeah, you did that. That was only something Thomas Savino would do. So, Mr. Martin, you have let's see. Where? When did you stop doing anything? I mean, when did you came back to New York here?
Yeah.
And after Saudi Arabia, and you did a whole bunch of stuff, and then
in the pay per view business in hotels for like 20 some odd years.
Wow.
And if you want to hear the story, 9/11 happened that day. I was. I had a conference call with my guys. I had an office in New York City overlooking the Empire State Building. And I was on a conference call. I was home. I was in Massachusetts. And the guy said to me, "Hey, Tom, you're not coming down today to do the walkthrough through the World Trade Center." I said, "Why?" They said, "It's on fire."
Whoa.
I said, "That's not a big deal. A fire is not a big deal." You know, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And we had a hotel. The Marriott was the old Vista Hotel. We had just turned it on with the pay-per-view movies. And I said, "Guys," I said, "it's not a big deal." And they said, "No, turn it on. Turn on the TV. You'll see there's a fire." You know, so I turned on the TV. I saw the other plane hit. And I said, "Holy moly."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Guys, there's something going on here. It's not good. You guys go home or..."
Well, you should have got into news. You should have been a news reporter. "Guys, there's something going on here."
I know.
A plane.
So I said, "You know, stay in the office if you want. You know, do whatever you want." But I said, "I'm not coming down today." I said, "I don't think I can get down there today." And the next day, the CEO of my company called me up and said, "Hey, Tommy, you know, we lost the transmitting tower on the world. I have to call up the Empire State Building and see if you can, you know, talk to them and get those PBS signals on." And, you know, it just seemed very insensitive, you know. He made me call the engineer. I called the engineer, and you know what he said to me? He said, "I'm going to clean it up." He said, "What are you freaking kidding me?"
Yeah.
You know, we had like 2,000 people die, and you're worried about the freaking PBS signals? And, you know, that's when I knew that I was out of the pay-per-view business. Working for a jerk like that. So, we sort of parted our ways.
But
that's when I started in the hearing aid business.
What?
Say again?
Hearing aid.
If he had a nickel for every time he...
I've heard that joke somewhere before.
I know, right on... We were right on cue, though, weren't we?
But, you know, speaking of pay-per-view, you guys, of course, remember Mr. Wigato.
Oh. Yeah.
And I don't I remember my reaction when he told us, he's a professor of communications, and he said, "The future is going to be pay television."
Well, he said cable TV. He started by saying, he's talking about cable TV.
Cable, pay television.
Yeah.
I said, "What? Who the hell is going to pay for television?" But I guess he was right.
How are you going to get those cords in those TVs? I don't understand that.
Well, he was in cable television from the time when cable television was only originally developed to get regular signals into places where the signals could not go. You know that, right? And that, you know all about that, Mr. Martin, right?
Yeah, Tom would know that more than us. Yeah,
and one of the first. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go. You go. Take it from there.
No. One of the first pay-per-view systems was in California, I think. You know, where they were paying for movies, I think. And then Spectrodyne or Spectravision started in the early 70s in the hotels. And they were in Chicago and New York. But it was owned by Columbia Pictures. It was a partnership with Columbia Pictures and I don't know who else. Then Columbia Pictures sold it to Time Life, and then Time Life sold it. And then eventually this company On Command that I worked for took over the business, and now they're out of business. So it's a long story.
But, well, the Savino's right, though, because we were hearing these stories about cable television, and it was like it was so foreign to us with Mr. Wigatar.
Yeah.
So he must have been in it from, because he was already 908 years old when we.
Was he in this thing?
He
was like the Nutty Professor.
Yes. Was he in? I mean, he knew it because he had some kind of first-hand experience. He must have been in it from the day they invented wires.
He was involved in it. I mean, besides teaching at New York Institute of Technology, he was in the some corporate connection.
A lot of those professors talked about things that were not related to the subject, and we learned a lot of things. You know what? I've told this story. Who remembers? I've told this story 100 times, but it never gets old. Who remembers the famous Mr. Sinha debacle?
I remember him. Yeah.
Mr. Sinha?
Mr. Sinha.
Yeah, radio.
Yes. The famous assignment.
I've told the story before. What you guys go into? You were there too, right, Thomas Martin?
Well, yeah, I don't quite remember the story, but he was a sing. I remember he always had his turban on. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And very thick. Again, we had these foreign professors, just like the Chinese guy. And
it's kind of ironic that he had we were in communication, but everybody could not speak the correct communication. And we had this class. It was mass communication.
Yes,
go. The name of the class.
I know. Go. Tell him.
Mass communication.
Tell them this thing.
And we're freshmen. And he says, by Friday, I want the research paper on. I want everybody 4-page research paper on the McGregors. Please, 4 pages, double space, the McGregors. And Frank and I are good. Oh shit! Went to the library. Frank is working in the library. Yeah. Said, the McGregors.
M A G Embassy. What is it? M A G. It must be a family. It must be something for Scottish the family. McGregors. The McGregors, a Scottish family. And the funny thing about this, the real funny thing about this, is that everyone in the class misinterpreted it.
Yes.
And there are people listening right now probably still don't know what we're talking about.
Right. We haven't hit the punchline yet. So the whole class shows up on Friday with no research papers. What the problem here? No paper. And we said, we all looked. We looked everywhere. We can't find anything about McGregor's, except maybe they made scotch or something, you know. What is wrong with you people? Then he writes it on the board, and it's the
spell
I told
it.
You 4 pages on the McRakers.
M-U-C-K-R-A-K. He writes it on the board. And then he points to it and goes, "You see, McGregor's." And we're all going like, "Oh boy, this is going to be a long 4 years."
Yeah.
The McGregor's.
Well, we made it through somehow. Remember Dr. Reed and his? He always had his hand up. Is it like power to the people kind of thing? He was
you remember from the he was sympathetic to the anti-war movement at that time. He was an English lit teacher.
Yes.
Yes. He and, I, he and I did not get along.
Who told you.
Yes.
He blamed you for plagiarism. I remember this.
Yeah.
He blamed you for plagiarism because mm-hmm. you used in an essay or a paper the word amongst.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? And I've been, ever since then, I can't even believe this word still exists because, yeah, I used an old English word, which at that time, now everybody uses it. I mean, you listen to it on the news. And they'll talk about it on the news. They use the word amongst. But yeah, he claimed, and he gave me an F. He failed. Oh, no, he gave me a G. I didn't fail, but he gave me a D.
Give you a D? Wow.
Yeah. And he said, we could not believe that what I wrote was original. And because and that was his evidence, that I wrote the word amongst. These are the kind of people we were dealing with. He was one of the original bald guys. You know, today you see people because they're losing their hair. You know, bald is the new long hair. Everybody just bald. Young people are bald and everything. He was one of the original bald guys.
Yeah.
Bald guys. And Tom's like, what are you laughing about?
I'm a bald guy. I'm not an original one, but I'm a bald guy.
Are you bald? Guy. Are you completely bald?
I do the little comb over thing, you know.
Because people don't like crowns anymore. Men, I mean.
Yeah.
Men don't go for crowns. They just go, we're here on Cotolo Chronicles. Thomas Martin, Thomas Savino, the three of us are musketeers from New York Institute of Technology. What is your best memory of the days in those with the whole gang? Because you know, it was a very cliquey school. Obviously, as both Toms were saying, we communication people stuck with the communication people, and the scientists stayed with the doctor, pre-med stayed with the pre-med. What do you remember most about it that was a lot of, that was good and warm and wonderful, as opposed to just crazy cartoon antics with these teachers and stuff?
I wouldn't say like a particular event, but definitely Doc Scanlon had made a big impression on me. I think I modeled my whole teaching career after Doc Scanlon.
Really?
Yeah.
Thomas Martin, look at, what is his name? You have the book there. Is it like Dr., is it Doc? That's not his name. Is it Dr. Robert Scanlon? What is it? Or was it?
I don't remember his first.
There's a good picture in here. I'll find it.
Yeah, he'd be looking for it. So Scanlon really, you have mentioned him so many times in your life. So he was really
If you ever run into any of my students, they'll say, oh, Savino? Oh, man, I didn't learn a damn thing in his class, but it was funny, and it was entertaining.
It's a Dr. P. Scanlon. I don't know if that's Peter. I don't know.
P. Pretorius.
You know what? I think it was Peter. I think it was Peter Scanlon.
I went for Pretorius, but I guess... No, I don't think it was Pretorius Scanlon.
Pretorius.
He probably would tell you that. He's the kind of guy who would tell you that. Oh, the P stands for Pretorius, he would say. So you liked to, you really dug. Do you remember, I have done this during, here's a Doc Scanlon stuff that went with me. During various shows, like, you know, I play the coffee houses and do these little shows. And I tell people not to applaud, but to snap their fingers. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Remember.
That's what he did. Because he didn't want, when we did scenes and what have you, he didn't want to interrupt the other classes with noise.
Yeah.
So he said, instead of applauding, snap your fingers.
Yeah.
And I've used that. I took that with. It's amazing the things that we take with us. What about you, Mr. Martin? Aside from being the star, Milt Martin being the first real talk show host from...
Well, a couple of things stand out. A couple of teachers obviously stand out. And, you know, these are the obvious ones. But John Carden was my hero, okay?
Mm,
Because, you know, here was a middle-aged guy, you know, at the end of his career. His TV career was sort of, you know... His TV career was sort of like announcing on the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
Mm-hmm,
but
yeah.
I really respected him. It was like, I learned a lot from him as far as just how to carry yourself towards you, like in your 50s and 60s. So I'm sort of modeling myself after John Carden. I'm trying to project from my
That's a strong impression if it lasted that long and then you got into your 50s and your
I don't know what it was. It just, you know, it just sort of struck me as here's a guy at the end of his career and he's trying to make it. And I respected him for that. I don't know what it was, but that's.
Were you in the first class? And I don't remember his name, Tom. I think you were there when John Carden. The first thing he said, it was the first communication arts class we had. It was probably called it wasn't history of broadcasting. It was something with broadcasting. Do you remember what he said, the first thing he said to everybody in that room? And
yes, he looked around and I don't know what there were 30, 40 people there, right?
Yeah.
40 people who said, among in this room, there are something like maybe two of you will work in the business or something like that, right?
Yes. Probably none of you, the smallest right percentage of you, will ever work in the media. And I do remember, I don't remember his name, but there was one fellow who got up and left.
And left, yeah.
He left college.
Yeah.
He walked out of college because of that. He went to one class and heard one professor say one thing. I would say, Mr. Martin, this was the exact opposite of the impression you had.
Well, you know, the other thing was he was always talking about his buddy, Hillary Brooks.
Remember him? Oh, yes, yeah. Hillary Brooks. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Our Miss Brooks. He was, and he married the old gold dancing girl.
No, I didn't even.
He did.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, people who are younger, which would be almost everybody. Old Gold was a cigarette brand, right? And they had a dancing cigarette pack.
Yeah, you could probably look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, but he would always say, "Yeah, but she had great legs," because that's all you could see. It was just like a cigarette pack with long legs.
Right, her arms came out of the box, and her body was the box.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I think back on it, he was often talking about long-legged women. Yeah. Sid Charisse was a big fan of his.
Yeah.
You know?
His favorite singer.
He was a big fan of Sid Charisse. And by the way, young people, Sid Charisse is a woman.
Let's ask Jeremy here for a second. Do you know of any... Do you recognize any of these names we're mentioning in terms of show business?
Yeah, there was a few. And then some I...
So we say Hillary Brook, you have no idea what we're talking about.
No.
And Sid Charisse?
Yes.
Lucky Strike. No, it wasn't Lucky. Old Gold Cigarettes in Nevada.
No.
And he grew up in Pennsylvania. Lewis? Jerry Lewis, right?
No.
Marge and Gower champion.
Right. It's even worse for Ray. He's only 14. Even things that he would not remember.
Hey, who was the professor who took us to breakfast on Central Park near... this restaurant near Central Park. He was making a film. He was making a documentary about Tyrone. It was something... about this black kid, and he was teaching us how to make documentary films.
Tremaine! Not Mr. No?
Tremaine was another film guy.
Oh, okay, that was perfect.
With the crew cut, and he had, and they smoked a pipe, and he
that was
always talked about the ratio of something, I don't know.
Then Rain came back to me, but it wasn't that person, it was another guy. I don't know then, I can't remember that. Yeah. I know
there's two names, W. Raphael, he had a beard, he was kind of bald.
Don't know him, no, I don't remember him at all.
And Mr. Mealy, I think he was...
Mr. Mealy.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
Public relations, yeah.
Yeah, he... I have an interesting story about him. My mother was sick. She was dying of cancer, and he comes up to me and he says, he knew about it. He says to me, Tom, he says, I know some people in New Jersey have a cure for cancer. I said, what? He said, no, really, Tom? No, they do. I said, okay. And he gave me these people's number, and I went to this place. Here's this old lady. She looks like the sea hag in the Popeye cartoons. Mm. And this big, fat, bald guy. Looks like Eric von Stroheim. There's a name for you.
Oh, woo.
And she was some sort of endocrinologist, and they were making this potion out of dandelions. I brought my mother there 3 or 4 times, and she said, "Tom, give up. I just want to die. I don't want to drink that shit anymore."
Oh, God.
She did try it,
but you know, it was more for me. She was trying it than her.
More strange characteristics of these various professors.
Yeah, and here he's telling me, "Oh no, it's definitely pure. It's going to come out any day now." And you know, and these people know, you know, they're just, you know, and nah, yeah, it never happened.
Mr. Cardin and Doc Scanlon, you know, I can't think of one teacher. I say teachers because they were all professors and doctors. I can't think of one that stuck with me in the way that you guys are talking about influences. I'm actually surprised that in your mature years or your adult years or whatever we want to call them, that these fellows had this still have this this grasp, this grip on you. And I imagine they're all... How do we find out? I mean, can the Alumni Association, maybe if you're listening, well, those people who are doing this magazine, who does this magazine? Let me see who the public... Who's the main dog? Who's the big dog here? Managing editor Julie Godsoe. G-O-D-S-O-E. Godsoe? How would you say that? Anyone?
I don't know.
Probably Godsoe.
Godsoe?
I think so.
That's Godsoe? So. What is that?
That's God's shoe.
God's shoe. God's shoe?
Julie Godsoe.
Godsoe. I guess if that's the staff writer reporter, there's one, Rose Summer.
Let's just call her Julie.
I think what I'm saying is I think that perhaps they need to go into the archives and maybe do an issue or one of these things that goes back. I mean, if they want to do it with all the decades, they can do it. But this was a particularly special decade because I don't think that once we left 777 7th Avenue, that was the last, right? Wasn't that the last?
Yeah, I think so. But you forgot the Woolworth building.
I did?
Yeah, the time.
What was the Woolworth building? I forgot. Yeah, I did. Where was that? When was that?
That was, I forget where that was, but we were like taking classes above the Woolworth.
Oh, yes. That's where I took because I started with summer school, and that's where I went. For some reason or another, they had it on top. Because remember, Savino, you remember this. We used to have tea downstairs and then go upstairs to the...
Yeah. I remember having tea and going to class, but I don't remember what building it was.
That was across the way. It was it was 72nd. There was Broadway, and then what was the next avenue there? Oh, I don't know. It was West End Avenue or something. I don't know. It was another one. You're right. I did forget that. Tom Martin, you have a pretty darn good memory.
Now, Tom Martin and I took a class that was not part of the curriculum. It was a special interest class or something, and we didn't get any credit for it.
Yeah, that's right.
But we took a class in the Knights of Pythias building with famous Hans Holzer, who was the famous parapsychologist, known as the Ghost Hunter.
I didn't know Martin. I didn't know you took that with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was interesting, but...
Hans Holzer was a parapsychologist, right?
Yeah, that's parapsychologist.
Very famous parapsychologist at the time.
Yeah.
And he had actual pictures of ghosts. He had taken, right? Didn't he have infrared pictures of ghosts?
Yeah, pictures of ghosts, yeah.
The only story I remember is this guy died, and in this rooming house, and every time at 4 o'clock in the morning, the toilet would flush. Because that's when he took his piss, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning he would, and that's the only thing I remember from my class. It's kind of weird.
That's the kind of story that makes a famous parapsychologist right there.
It sounds like me. I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, the guy, he had books and everything.
Yeah, he did have books. Yeah.
Everyone out there has a when they listen to the show, they write down. That's where Dr. Fabianic's famous phrase came from. Man, write this down quick. I tell everybody they write these names down and then they look them up later on their Bings and their Yahoo and Yabings and Googlings and stuff. So Hans Holzer, H-A-N-S, H-O-L-T-Z. Yeah, it was a famous parapsychologist, and that goes way before there were there any? I mean, this is like before those movies, right? This was before, what were those movies called?
Analyze This, Analyze That.
Analyze This, no. But what? The movies, the Spielberg movies about the ghosts, what was that? What were those movies?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, no.
That's not Spielberg.
They're Back, that one with the little girl, what was that?
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Oh, Poltergeist.
It's way before that. Yeah, Analyze This.
I thought you were talking.
I'm telling you, when you get with... Isn't it amazing? Don't you guys... You guys realize this, too, because you were talking about... Thomas Martin was talking to his kids about, you know, the all being on stage with the Allman Brothers and everything. But isn't it amazing how you could drop names now to these people in their 20s? And even 30 sometimes, and they look at you like, yeah, and what? Who's that?
What is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
How quickly stuff is being, it's fading.
I called earlier, and you were sleeping, and I wanted
you
to
called,
know.
Yeah, what did you want? You called earlier.
I wanted to know if I should buy this George Burns book at Second and Charles.
This what? I Love Her, That's Why?
No, it was...
A George Burns book?
Yeah, it was This is the 90s. They're all about the 90s.
With George Burns? What are you talking
about?
He
wrote it.
George Burns has been dead for a long time. How could I...
About the 90s?
Yeah.
How would George Burns...
Maybe it's the 1890s.
Yeah, right.
No. I think he died in the 90s.
Yeah, he was 101 or something. He died. He didn't know. No. I think that wasn't George Burns.
It was. I was holding it in my hand.
And it was George Burns of Burns and Allen. Oh, he doesn't know. So Jeremy's looking at me like, yeah. Oh, like one of the George Burns.
And I was like, Frank's talked about this guy. Let me call him and see if I should buy this book.
Oh, isn't that something? He doesn't. It can't be.
Oh.
And you were sleeping.
Maybe another George Burns.
Here, I'll look it up.
All this. And the funny thing about it is that there are TV stations now devoted to just playing those old shows, right? There's Me TV and Antenna. Frank's- Yeah.
Whenever I go into a nursing home, that channel is on.
Me?
No. They're watching Bonanza.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching, you know, with the game shows with Gene Rayburn.
There's Retro. There's three of them. Retro.
Yeah. Gene Rayburn.
Me TV and Antenna TV. Those are the three. It's like, you know, and during the day you could turn on and watch, not that you'd ever want to watch Mr. Ed, but like Mr. Ed is on and there were some real, you know, funny, crazy ones. And in the middle of the night, and I always, I stay up real late because I'm still a night person. And I watch the Burns and Allen show from 3, they show two episodes in a row from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. And then on set, and I want to tell you that there are, and you look back, and I think a lot of these young kids, especially guys like Jeremy, so I'm always telling Jeremy about, because, you know, he's a comedian, and telling, if you've never seen, like, Car 54, Where Are You? These things stand up. They hold up today.
We watched it together.
Did you? Yeah. Car 54. Do you remember Car 54, guys?
Oh, God, yeah.
Car 54.
And these... Yeah.
Francis.
Oh! 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 Hey, do you know who died the other day?
Yes.
Who?
He was 98, right?
You know,
Eli Wallach?
Eli Wallach.
Yeah. No, even before that.
Oh, no.
I'm supposed to tell you I really like Fanny Bryce.
Oh, who said Fanny Bryce? Okay, here's who died. You ready? Do you remember Alan and Rossi?
Yeah. The short guy with the afro and the...
Hello there, guy, right?
Yeah.
He died.
No, he didn't die. The singer got
The Rossi guy?
Rossi died.
The Rossi guy.
He was 80-something years old.
They were sort of a wannabe Lewis Martin.
Yeah, they were.
Martin Lewis.
Yeah, because he was a singer and the other guy was a stupid guy. But the other day I watched this routine they did on the Gary Moore show because it's on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you could go to YouTube, you get those. And it was hilarious. It was just, there were just great one-liners Classic stuff. Alan and Rossi. Hello there.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Well, he's so dead. Fun. They were always on the Sullivan Show. That was supposed to be.
Who's doing Ed Sullivan? Which one of you guys was trying?
That wasn't me. That was Tommy DeVito.
Wow. Ed, yes.
Really big shoe. Really big shoe. That's
shoe. Yeah, he did it. See? He did it. The what do you guys feel about the I mean, if you had to do it again, would you go back knowing that school was that school? Or would you, like, do anything else but go there?
That's an interesting question, because I'm kind of on the fence about that. Mm-hmm. I have dreams about New York Tech. I have recurring dreams that I still need to make units up in social studies. And I have to go there, and I'm going up to the 70th floor of the Pythias building. And
who remembers the name of the guy who ran the elevator?
Oh, God.
Remember that guy?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Gone completely.
Tommy, can I just say this? I have the same dreams. I don't know what it is. Maybe we're connected somehow.
Wow.
Seriously, huh?
I also have the common dream where I'm looking for the room, you know, for the class, and I can't find the room, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have a very similar dream, and the funny thing is that it the buildings change, and I guess that's because
changed so much. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Wow, I'm looking on their website right now. They of course, there's Old Westbury and the Manhattan campus on Broadway. Then they have a campus in Islip, New York. Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirate.
They have Abu Dhabi? Really?
Yeah. A campus in Abu Dhabi, a campus in Nanjing, China.
Isn't that the only place in the world named after a phrase from the Flintstones?
Abu Dhabi, okay.
They're slower than ever, the boys. Yeah, go ahead. I don't have any dreams. You're looking through there, and you
see... And there's one more campus, and it's Vancouver.
Really?
I'd like to go to that campus. Vancouver, Canada.
Arguably, the second best fish and chips you can get in the world are in Vancouver.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. That's speaking of food... Remember all the places we used to eat at NYIT? The Blimpies? Did that?
Oh, Neil Liguri.
Neil Liguri.
Are you listening, Neil Liguri? Are you there?
Subway, by the downtown.
Neil Liguri. While he went to school, while he was going to college, opened up a Blimpies.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't
know. What was that other guy in our news? Producer or something?
You talking about Statsky?
Alan Statsky?
Alan Statsky, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. What about, remember Juergens? Steve Juergens?
Was he
the model?
No, he hung around with the model.
That sounds familiar.
Carmelo? Who is the model? Was Carmelo or?
Spinelli, yeah. Carmen Spinelli.
Carmen
Spinelli.
Yeah, years later, I ran into him in the street, and I said, Carmen Spinelli. And he looked at me like, yes, who are you? You know,
yeah.
It's not Carmen anymore. He changed it. I forget what he said it was. It was like Fred or some, you know. He didn't like Carmine, I guess. Yeah. And I said, New York Tech. He says, well, yes, I sort of did go there.
Well, pardon me all over the place. Yeah.
I'm not good enough for you, you know. Meanwhile, you know, when he was in college, he'd bring in his 5x7s, and he'd say to me, hey, Tom, what do you think about my nipple here? Do you think it's dark in this photo? And, you know, I'd go, my nipple's fine. You know, it looks like a nipple, you know. So he didn't want to know me, you know, so I said, fine.
Yeah.
But he remembered, was it Arnie Goodman or?
I know that name.
I forgot him until you just mentioned him now, but I remember him.
The names are now pouring out of me. Larry Solomon.
Larry Solomon. Larry Solomon.
He's in the book here, Larry Solomon, yeah.
Why don't you do that, Tom? Martin, you got the book there. Just run through some names, and let's.
Okay.
While we're.
Excuse me, I have to be off mic for a minute.
Okay, you got
to
go. Okay,
cat,
me and Tom Martin will talk about this while you run off to give insulin to your cat.
Yeah.
He has a 17.
Well, here we go. We got all about Michael Balser.
Oh, Mike Balser. How could we go through this show and never mention Mike Balser?
I was the best man at his wedding.
Yeah, and he disappeared off the face of the earth, didn't he?
He went to Montana.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you shouldn't be hard to find in Montana. The whole damn state has less than a million people in it.
Yeah, I know.
How could you not find him? Yeah, Mike.
We got Lenny Calderon. We all know Lenny.
He's still he's on Facebook. I friends, and there's a lot of these people. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm back.
We just mentioned Mike Balser and Lenny Calderon.
Oh, come on, Mike Balser.
Yeah. We forgot all about him.
Joe Rosinski.
Joe Rosinski. There's a picture of him in here.
What happened? Where are you? Know any of these people somehow get a hold of this or hear us talking, please get in touch with us. There's so many ways to get in touch with us anymore. Facebook, anywhere. Twitter's. Just do it. And get in touch with the Alumni Association and tell them you've heard this and what have you. Go ahead, name some other
people. Who was the guy with the long hair? I don't think he was in our class. Was it Dan Hedges, the guy with the long straight hair?
Oh, yes, Dan Hedges.
He loved,
Dan Hedges.
Remember him?
Yes, I do.
I was Dan Hedges.
Yeah.
And let's see. Oh, Robert Moore. Remember Robert Moore? Glasses. He had a shortcut pro.
I don't get him.
No. Howard Newman. Remember Howard Newman? Maybe.
No.
Some of these,
Who was the
all
guy?
These guys.
Faces. What?
Was it Wright? Was the guy's name Wright, who was helping us on the NY? We were on.
Craig Wright.
NYIT radio show.
Greg Wright. Yeah. I think he was the only. He wasn't the only. Well, he might have been the only African American in communication arts. We didn't have.
I think so. Yeah.
Was he in there, Greg Wright? Well, you didn't get those W's.
Yeah. No, I don't see him.
He may have been. He may have been a year.
I'm at the
earlier.
W.
Who else was on the? Because WNYT, NYIT, whatever the radio, NYIT radio. Go ahead, give me some more names. We'll find some people. Just shoot through them. We'll stop you when we know.
Alice Katz. Oh, how about we remember Larry Solomon? Larry Solomon?
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah, Larry Solomon. I remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever happened to him?
A lot of these people I don't recognize. I don't know. Warren J. Pizer. He was the guy who was always the Stu Botti stuff. Let's see. I don't know.
All these kids came from different parts of New York. I mean, the fascinating thing to me is that, like I said before, you know, we would never know Tom Martin. Tom Savino and I might have eventually met. So many of these people, we never would have crossed paths. I never would have rubbed shoulders with any of these people were it not for this strange school, the school that everybody got to for some odd reason.
Yeah.
And to find out where most of them went is amazing. And that's what bothers me about the alumni people are just not in touch with any of these people from that era. And we haven't even mentioned, we haven't mentioned Mark Mandel, but obviously, I mean, arguably probably the most successful of the whole bunch in terms. And I don't know how much that had to do with going to the New York Institute of Technology.
Yeah, really. I mean, maybe very little, but.
But we went there because we all were trying to, I don't know why we all went there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. We were all trying to get out of the war.
Well, that's true. I mean, that was, yeah.
You know who they have?
Are you there, Tom?
You know who they have a picture of in the book here? Remember that guy, Moon Dance, or whatever his name was? The guy with the horns and the cape?
The guy used to hang out on Broadway. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
He had a Viking helmet and a beard and...
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, in, yep.
I think I saw him there last month.
Yep. Do you think he's still there? He might be. Maybe
I think he has his own TV show.
We're putting him to sleep.
He has a reality show.
Well, here we are in Cthulhu Chronicles with about barely 8 minutes left of this this reunion that has taken place without alcohol and or any other.
Well, speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Here on
Exactly.
And is this the first time
nobody
actually
mentioned Lyle Paris?
No,
Lyle Paris. I remember his brother was Jerry Paris.
Well, yeah, he let us know, didn't he?
Yes,
he made sure we knew
that's right.
He was the brother of Jerry Paris, who you could probably still see on MeTV or right?
Or, yeah, Jerry Paris. He produced or directed the Dick Van Dyke Show, right?
He was a character too.
He directed it, and he was he acted in it too. He's the dentist or something.
He's the next door neighbor. He was Ernest Borgnine's brother-in-law in Marty.
Was he?
Yeah, Jerry Paris.
Yes.
Oh yeah, wow. Jerry Paris. That's right. Yeah.
He had a lot of movie roles.
Yeah,
Jerry Paris. Lyle taught TV. I wonder do you even remember what Lyle did that made him involved with TV? What did he do? Just follow his brother around and then wind up being a teacher? It was like, yeah.
You know what? I think that I mentioned earlier in this show that the hardest thing it was to direct a live three camera show. I think I think he taught that class. I think.
Well, then what did Zeller?
I think he did too.
What did Zeller teach then?
Another
TV
visual. I always think of him and his visuals. Yeah,
I remember having to do some papers for him. I don't know what
papers.
For some reason it seemed less studio stuff and more, you know,
research or something.
Yeah, research sort of stuff. You know, FCC and
Hey, remember the FCC?
Nicholas, what was his name?
Remember the fairness doctrine?
Nicholas.
That went away.
Nicholas, the very famous.
Back then?
Yeah. The famous FCC guy back then.
The famous communication guy back then was. here goes the. My old memory.
Wow,
is
it's all fading. It's fading even as the show fades.
<it's,
laughs> then so are the memories.
The medium is the message. What was that?
Yeah.
Matthew McCullahan. No.
Close.
Marshall McLuhan.
Marshall McLuhan, yeah.
Who appeared? Marshall McLuhan. Do you guys read about him?
Yeah, we read about him.
You read about Marshall McLuhan? Whose only movie appearance, I believe, was in Annie Hall.
Annie Hall.
Right?
He's online, yeah. That's a great scene.
Yeah.
And,
we read all about him.
Yeah, breaking the fourth wall. Here and all I can say is you guys got anything else to say? We could always we're going to do when we get feedback from the college and what have you. If we do, they may have tuned out a long time ago. They may say like, well, no wonder we don't remember. We want to recall those days. We'll get together again and maybe we'll even get one of them on or something. That would be. It'd be fun to talk to them.
That'd be interesting. Get their perspective.
Because I don't even know, where does anybody go today? Jeremy, do you know? Do a lot of schools now have these communication arts and movies and things?
I would say a decent amount have the program, whether it's any good or not. I have no idea.
But there are a lot more. Well, we didn't say ours was exactly sterling. You know, but
way more than 17 now, that's for sure.
Yeah. There are a lot of...
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah. So and of course, that would be the paradigm of that. That's a paradigm shift completely because media is entirely different. Because remember, you think about what it took us, if we had to make a 10-minute, 15-minute film, right? I mean, what would it take us in the analog days compared to...
Oh, my God.
Right?
You'd need those special... Remember those special tape recorders that everything was in sync with the film and everything?
Oh yeah,
the Nikon.
I guess all that.
I said Nikon.
It's obsolete now.
It's not Nikon. What is it? It was the
It was an
Aeroflex, and there was
that's a camera.
The cameras were the Aeroflex.
That's a camera.
Those special tape recorders. They were, it was an N.
Yeah.
You got a Nagra?
Nagra. Yeah. No.
Niagara Falls. Slowly.
Slow.
And remember we used to, be jealous of, I heard Dave Rosinski's got a Nagra or something.
Nagra. Yeah, the Nagras. Yeah. Are there still Nagras? I mean, do they still, they don't use any, do they use any of this stuff anymore?
I don't know. Nope.
No? Still, none of this stuff. It's all just
They still need microphones and things.
Yes, they still need microphones. Yeah.
I still have my 16mm film that I made in college.
Yeah?
I didn't make one. What did you make one?
Well, it was about, I forget what it was about, but I think I'm going to find somebody to put it on like a tape or something. It's MOS. Remember MOS?
MOS without sound. That means without sound, right?
Without sound. Without sound.
Without sound, yeah. And then you would put the sound on, you would do a track
European
later.
European style?
You would do a track later.
I guess there was a magnetic stripe on it, and you sort of do it later. I don't know.
Yeah, you did it later. It was going to shoot an MOS, and that was when you used to shoot day for night. Shoot day for night. Just open up the lens. Remember day for night?
Remember that stuff? Yeah.
Good God! Yeah. And today it doesn't.
Aspect ratio. You know.
Today your phone takes better pictures than any of the cameras we had. Your phone takes.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Boy, we sound like we're 100 million years old now, don't we? Wow, that's amazing. Tom Savino and Mr. Thomas Martin, if you'd like to, I'm going to have to do a little signing off here shortly, but if you'd like to stay on, we could chat a little more, but I don't know what you want to do. You could just stay on as we close the show here. I wanted to mention Jeremy. Did Jeremy get a movie? You're going to be in a movie? Jeremy, tell him about this movie you're going to be in. You're leaving for Pittsburgh or something?
Yeah, next week. It's called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Yeah, apparently it's based off of a best-selling novel. I've never read it.
Well, apparently not a best-selling novel, then. Of course, these kids
don't read. Congratulations.
They don't read anymore.
Thank you, Tom.
And he'll be this week he'll be at Chuddles Chuckle Factory.
I'm at the Chuckle Hut all week.
doing Chuckle his. Hut. But why don't you guys just? Do you have to run or can you stay?
I have to run.
Well, then we'll all go.
Because I have to give insulin to my cat.
Oh, that's right. He's got a cat to save. And Mr. Martin, you got to get to sleep because you got to sell hearing aids in the morning. Is that it?
I'm asleep right now, actually.
Well, you're joining the rest of the audience.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here. We'll do this again one way or another, okay?
All right, Frank.
And I will let you know I'll let you know what's going to happen with the... I'll let you know what they say.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Bye.
Okay, guys. Good night, fellow students.
Good night.
Good night. There they go. The Toms. The Toms. Well, that takes care of that. July comes up. I don't know what we're doing next week, but it'll be something. It'll be something. I don't know. You'll be gone next week? You're in Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
so he'll be on the set. He'll be live on the set. And I'll be here doing whatever it is I do. Who knows? We'll go to the blog. What is it? GetTotalChroniclesStuffBlogspot.com. I don't know. Go see me at go to the places for social media. We'll be around there, and you could find out what we're gonna do. In the meantime, in between time, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be. And
that's it.
Good night, Jeremy.
Good night, Frank.
I hope you learned something about old timer. Broadcasting.
It's a lot different from my current communications program.
And thanks to the Toms and everybody out there. Get in touch with us, you alumni people, because we're still out here. We're still alive. We're still walking and talking and
not
carrying.
After that show.
We're carrying with us the legacy of New York Institute of Technology. But we'll be leaving you now. Why? Because we have nothing more to say. We'll be right back.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系《Cthulhu Chronicles》。